Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Snap Reactions for the AFC after week 10. And start with Baltimore here. Mark Andrews, tight end 2 so far in the season, tight end 3 in expectation. I think he's taking a jump to another level. If you wanted to say, hey, who are your tight ends that are sort of younger than the Kelce, Kittle, Waller range? I think it's as good of argument. I think Pitts would be the number one. I think after that, I think Andrews has as good an argument as anybody. And so we could talk about Hockenson. You know, we talked about Hockenson on the prior show. He's got as good an argument as anyone. He's got a better argument than Fant. He's got a better argument than Goddard for sure. I think any other one he's got a better argument for. So that would sort of be my position on that. And I think he's a really, really safe tight end asset. So high floor, high ceiling. He's basically, I don't know if he can get all the way up to the Kelce ceiling, but when you look at where he is as a pass catcher, I mean, just the yards per route run, he's always been a monster, Andrews has. And, you know, he's fifth right now. He's over 2. There's 6 guys in the league over 2. It's Kittle, Goddard, Pitts, Joku, which is a fascinating one, Andrews, and Gronkowski. I wonder, and we could talk about Joku in the Cleveland Browns, but I sort of wonder what that ultimately unfolds. But all that's to say, it's a really, really high-end production for Andrews. And I think he's locked in there. The other thing, and this will be my caution concern spot about Rashad Bateman, actually, is when you look at this situation, we feel really good about, at least I do, feel really good about Andrews. I feel really good about Marquise Brown as well. And so wide receiver 8 in terms of expected points per game. He's at wide receiver 7 in terms of actual points per game at 17.8 points per game. That's tough to like get there by accident. Like that's not an accidental stat at all. And so that's the thing with him is he's really good and it checks out amongst a number of fronts. So he's 20th in terms of yards per route run. When you sort of look at the PFF grade, that could be one of the things where you could say, all right, well, maybe it's not quite as good as you would want. He's 23rd in terms of PFF grade at 75.6. He's 2.11 yards per route run. That's excellent. When you look at sort of the target numbers, he's 12th. And so, I mean, all the things checks out. I mean, he's right there. He's tied with Justin Jefferson in targets and produced more touchdowns by way of reference. Like him and Justin Jefferson, Jefferson has more yards. He's got 775, 719 for Marquise Brown. Basically 5% higher in terms of yards per route run for Jefferson. But that's sort of the range of what we're looking at. Like he is a very high-end producer, and this has been 2 years now of basically being at a really good level. So the question I ultimately have for a Rashad Bateman breakout, a Rashad Bateman development, is how does he sort of crack that? Because neither of those guys, I think, is just going to outright go away. That would be my caution. That would be my concern with Bateman's development longer term. Next up is the Buffalo Bills, fresh off a thrashing of the New York Jets, exactly as the world should be after a weird loss against the Jaguars. Curious to me is a little bit of a drop off in Cole Beasley routes. And so he only runs 8 routes in this game. It's 29 for Diggs, 25 for Sanders. As you look back over the past 3 weeks prior to that, so week 7 through 9, they actually had a bye kick in there as well. So in those 2 games, it's 92 routes for Sanders, 85 routes for Diggs, 71 routes for Beasley. Gabe Davis is at 34, and you're kicking in another 26 for Isaiah McKenzie. The best yards per route run guy during that time was actually Beasley, and Sanders was actually amongst the worst of the guys getting real work. McKenzie was was worse than Sanders, but Sanders underperforming pretty significantly his workload. There's some thought that this was some injury stuff. I'm not entirely sure. I think that's a situation to watch for, monitor in terms of if you're going to play Beasley here going forward. I think we know what this offense is. It's a lot of Sanders. It's a lot of Diggs. It's lesser of Beasley, and he's playing primarily in the slot. The other thing I would say is we're on the watch and return, wait and see for Dawson Knox and his development. And let's just hope he gets right. That's the goal, is for him to get right and continue on his developmental track. He comes back in week 10. He runs 23 routes. He goes 1 for 17. Pretty low PFF grade, small sample size, but that's basically where we're at. Next up, Cincinnati coming off a bye, so not a ton of discussion there. Again, we're just watching and seeing any potential variance or regression from Chase playing at a really high level, performing at a really high level, but his workload being a little bit less. So, all right, next up is your Cleveland Browns and the aforementioned David Njoku. So David Njoku in the past, so basically since week 7, he has run the second most routes on the team. Landry is ahead of him at 105. He is at 71. That is second ahead of Hooper, Rashad Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, Harrison Bryant, and Demetric Felton. And those are just your pass catchers, your wide receivers, and your tight ends. Some of the yards per route run stuff isn't great over the more immediate history, the more immediate term. But I think some of that is Baker, and you sort of have the, you know, we had the Baker conversation in the other pod yesterday about the quarterbacks. I do think that's a factor. When you look at David Njoku on the season, 2.05 yards per route run. So he's pretty significant regression based off of where he started. But ultimately, like, I do think he's taking a step forward. We'll see if he can sort of sustain. Almost feels a little bit like, and maybe this isn't the perfect analogy, but they talk about like the guys that, I think it's the 200 maybe, where you don't get faster. You basically, the 200 is how fast you can get to, as fast as you can go, and basically how long you can hang on. And that kind of feels like the way David Joker's season is, with a couple of pretty high-end games to start the season, two really elite games against Kansas City in week 1, and week 5 against the Chargers, really high-end metric games, both of them. Couple of duds in between there. You know, there's been some variance. It's a variant position, but I think we'll see sort of where he fits in. It's the best PFF grade he's had, moderately better than his rookie season, so that's good. In terms of yards per route run, by far the best game of his career. I wouldn't say he's on pace for a career high in terms of targets. He's not. He's basically on pace for the second most targets of his career, right around there. Again, it sort of in line with his rookie season. He had 83 in his second year. Much higher efficiency this year, though. So I think that's a good sign. And as we head towards free agency, that is definitely a good sign there for him. The other ones, in terms of Donovan Peoples-Jones, showing pretty well in terms of yards per route run, 1.59. That's a good performance. 1.65 for Landry. So that's also encouraging there for his performance going forward in a Odell Beckham Jr. less offense. When you look over the past 4 weeks, so since week 7, it's been Anthony Schwartz basically playing 10 snaps per game, 10 routes per game essentially. So there was some thought that he might be a developer in this post Odell Beckham Jr. world. Week 10 doesn't really happen. It's more he's running 6 routes. So it's this past week, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones running 33, tied with Landry. I saw takes that Donovan Peoples-Jones would be a top 10 wide receiver in a couple of years. I would caution against that pretty severely. He hasn't done a whole lot here to make a big, big difference. All right, Denver Broncos. And we do have Judy back on the mend. So Judy is basically third on the team with routes. It's 36 for Sutton, 35 for Tim Patrick, 33 for Judy, 28 for Fant, and then 11 for Albert O this past week. And as we've, you know, we've been sort of in and out with guys here, this is really one of the first games in a while that we've seen all of those guys in together with, you know, with people missing games earlier on in the season and those sorts of things. Like, we haven't had, we got one in week 8 where all that core guys has played. And in those two games where you've gotten basically the full complement of Sutton, Patrick, Judy, Fant, and Albert O, it's very clear in terms of at least Fant over Albert O 2-1. I think that's the easiest one to say. Albert O, best graded player of that group in those games. 5.05 yards per route run. Again, I am regressing heavily to the base rate, even though I like the player. There's just a lot. It's just a lot to overcome for him. Sutton leads in routes during that time, 64. Patrick tied at 64. Judy, coincidentally, 56. Judy playing basically 86% of his slots in his snaps in the slot. Sutton playing 90 outside. You're getting a mix of Patrick playing basically 2/3 out wide, and you're getting some other guys, Fant and Alberto, playing the slot there as well. But interestingly, the leading target getter during that span, Judy, the best yards per route run guy of those big four, putting aside Alberto, is Judy, but 1.55. That isn't even that great of a number. So some interesting stuff here going on. I think it gives you some concern for Sutton, really. 1.08 yards per route run in the week 8 and 10 game where they're both back to the whole bands together, if you will. But only 7 targets, 69 very nice yards on 64 routes. All right, turning next to the Houston Texans, and not a ton here on offer. It's Brandon Cooks. It's Danny Amendola is playing an ancillary role, I guess, is the other way to say this. They were off this past week. But it's, you know, it's a relatively low upside offense outside of Brandon Cooks being your wide receiver one on the team. All right, Indianapolis Colts, and I could go, and we didn't do a ton of this this past week because it was more looking just the rookies, but we could absolutely do like an hour on just the Carson Wentz experience this year. I'm going to spare everyone that, but it's something we could do. It's really interesting. Even though Hilton has basically played 2 of the past 3 weeks, he's at 57 routes. He left one of the earlier ones midway through. It's 119 for Pittman, 116 for Pascal. 2-1 in favor of Pittman, yards per route run over Pascal, 1.86 for Pittman, 0.95 for Pascal. Hilton, 0.37. So nothing super optimistic there of this offense outside of Pittman. I'll say some of the volume stuff on Pascal is like okay, 17 targets over the past 3 weeks, but a buck 10 in terms of yards on 116 routes. So really leaving something to be desired there. I don't see a ton of threat to him just because I don't know how they can replace him ultimately without a healthy T.Y. Hilton. All right, Jacksonville Jaguars, and this one relatively staying the same. You're getting a big bunched up group between Marvin Jones, Dan Arnold, Jamal Agnew, Laviska Shenault. Don't really love any of them. I think if you're playing in a tight end premium type spot, Dan Arnold could be pretty interesting, nearly 2 yards per route run. I don't know what he develops into, but I think it's actually pretty interesting where he's at, basically in a perpetual contract year at this point in his career. We'll see where he goes there after this year, and heck, maybe he's found a home with a pretty open and available set of targets. Kansas City Chiefs, and good grades here for Hill over the past 3 weeks, 84.1. Kelsey's still struggling. We did do that big deep dive piece on KC. Certainly a question, but things have slightly turned around. We're going to call this the AOD effect. 119, 9 targets in week 10, 2.98 yards per route run. 2 yards per route run on man coverage. So better performance there for Kelsey. Hopefully, you know, he did the shimmy post game. So hopefully better there. Again, it's still a question of ancillary guys in this offense. You know, what can we expect in terms of production? And the other pod, I did mention Tyler Conklin, you know, is a prototype for guys to potentially watch for a couple years down the line. Noah Gray puts a touchdown on the board. 3 targets, 1 reception, 1 yard, touchdown. Nifty route down there at the red zone. So we'll see there. You know, he's tough to roster in, like, safe leagues. And this will be the one thing I'll say, like, a big takeaway. I rank too many tight ends on the rookie big board just because the profiles are nice, but the way to produce is just so hard. And that's going to be one of those things where I think next year, now it was really my first year of trying to put together an in-depth big board, maybe second year. I don't know in future years how we're going to do that, but that's something we're in shorter leagues going to have to move probably away from rostering some of these guys because it's a, it's just really tough to get there. Like Tommy Tremble's another one. You know, it's just really tough for them to make a difference early on in their career coming from the depth of their pedigree. All right. The Las Vegas Raiders, and with some changes going on, I guess we'll say 5 routes for DeSean Jackson. He has that big, long, weird reception. 1 for 1 in terms of catching his lone target, 38 yards and a fumble, a solid, robust 7.6 yards per route run. That is 38 yards on 5 targets, or excuse me, 38 yards on 5 routes. Zay Jones leads in routes this past week. It's actually ahead of Waller, so that's 35 routes. So he's been one that I have, like, if I'm destitute, I think Zay Jones is an add. Waller is, again, struggling a bit here, down from where he has been. I would bet on a progression. You know, I'd bet on him improving here going forward. It's still a very high expected point production. And as I think as this offense goes along, like it's just going to be pretty glaring that he's the best player in it. They need to sort of force stuff to him. So we saw this a little bit last year too, where he'd go through a couple of these like dips where it wasn't fully involved. And there'd be other games where Carr was just like, it was a magnetic force going to him. So I'm hoping for one of those games here coming forward. And then, you know, Renfro's doing his thing. He's productive, but 1.35 yards per out run. I saw people celebrating and dancing like they'd solved the Kennedy assassination. You know, that they had predicted, or you know, that Renfro was this guy. God, he's a wide receiver 3, and it's not super consequential, you know. So that's we'll see there going forward. Brian Edwards, big production here. 3 targets, 88 yards, 2.67 yards per route run. But again, on the season, like, he just hasn't fully gotten there yet. And it's 1.38 yards per out run, so going in the right direction with this big performance. But again, it's 4 targets per game. Like, it's got to go up, and that's a team high routes. Like, it's just, that's not good enough. It's just not good enough. And to really truly matter, you need to be a top 30, top 20 guy, and he just really isn't there yet. And so again, he's another example of why I don't take a ton of bets in that range. Even though I like the, you know, I quote like the player in his production, I'm not making a ton of bets in his range. All right, next up is the Chargers, and we're still seeing you know, we're in the midst a little bit of a, we'll call it a Mike Williams swoon. So let's just go first half, second half of the season. So first half of the season, Mike Williams, 471 yards, 2.52 yards per route run. He had 6 touchdowns in the first 5 games. How has that gone since then, you ask? Well, as we might predict in terms of his production, it has come down. 19 targets, 10 receptions, 137 yards, 1.11 yards per route run. Now, ultimately, it boils out to look pretty, like it looks pretty nice on the season. He's north of, he's almost at 2, but he's definitely trending in the wrong direction. He hasn't been north of 1.7 yards per route run in a game since week 5. So again, 9 games in, halfway there. It's a good pace, directionally wrong. I mean, on pace for, let's just call it, yeah, it's through 9 games, so it's a little bit less than this, but it's a little bit less than 1,200 yards, a little bit less than 12 touchdowns. So that's good, but again, he's above his career yards per route run. You know, he's almost to his career high in terms of targets. So this is the point we get to. We're 4 years into a career. And do we take the first 3 games? Do we take the first 5 games and really adjust that prior? Or are we taking the first 4 years and saying all of this stuff is going to regress? I'm sure it's going to regress some, because the person that he is probably isn't going to appear in year 5. We probably at some point in the first 4 years of his career, we probably got closer to who he actually is. What's he going to settle out to be is, I think, the big question there. So I'm interested, but and I think he's going to be one of those ones. His free agent. I'm excited for the free agent series because his free agent one's going to be really, really interesting. Keenan Allen over the past 5 weeks has really come on. As again, there's 4 games that they've had a bye during that time. So since in weeks 4 through 10, just about 2.2 yards per route run. That is almost double what Williams has been. So pretty impactful there. When you look at the routes, I know there was some talk about, hey, Parham and Anderson are really going to take some of the stuff away from Jared Cook. Not really. Like, Jared Cook still run 100 routes over the past 4 weeks. So that's over the past 4 games, so 25 a game. Like, that's fine. You know, when you look at where he was in week 10, for example, he's at 23 routes. The next most at tight end is Parham at 9. So he still has a big volume. It's not all the way there in terms of the wide receivers. Both wide receivers had 36. But I still think he has a role there, even if maybe the ceiling has come off a little bit there for Jared Cook. All right, turning next to the Miami Dolphins, and, you know, we're on the watch for Fuller. That's one we're definitely on the watch for, to hope and see that maybe he makes a stretch run impact for us. We are in the midst of a Jalen Waddle pseudo breakout. So that's also good. That's it with Devontae Parker on IR. Gesicki is making a pretty strong case to be up a tier in terms of the tight end position, almost in that Fant Hawkinson range. If you were thinking before the season, like, he's definitely putting himself in there. If I were to sort of start picking nits on Mike Gesicki, it would be, I question, you know, maybe some of the absolute production, like your yards per route run, for example. It hasn't been that high. They just pepper him. He's just going to get peppered with targets this year. It's going to be a career high. You know, if assuming he keeps his pace, like his PFF grade has regressed a little bit from last year. Like, that would sort of be where I would go at the, you know, picking on his production a little bit. Contested catch rate's the lowest of his career. So there is some stuff that I think he could actually produce, but has struggled a bit to do this year ultimately. So I think he's locked in a really good role. The question I would have is ultimate production, ultimate upside, especially if he changes teams or if he is a free agent moving in the market, because that would definitely change. There isn't a ton of, they don't have a ton of answers at this point with their team. He is one. Is he that? He's more of that in a safe way where just not a ton of, I don't think he offers a ton of difference making ability, but is very stable for them. The question that I then have is like, if he goes someplace else, does he sort of have that role? And, or is it exclusive to Miami just because out of necessity, he's basically that. So a little bit of tug and pull there. Could he go someplace in a more efficient offense? You know, if they put him in a Kelce role, what would he do, right? Those sorts of things. I tend to think with a situation like his, it's a good example of why I think that players changing teams aren't necessarily a good thing. So that would be sort of my take on Gesicki. Jalen Waddle, optimistic. Again, he's sort of on that wide receiver 2-3 range fringe right now. So he's definitely moving towards checking the box on a hit. Stay healthy. He probably does that. Through 10 games, 82 targets. Just a robust number. You sort of extrapolate that out. That is an excellent production for a rookie. 9.3 yards per reception. That's not great. 1.43 yards per route run. Not a huge, huge impact, but that's on an efficiency perspective. I think he's actually had a bigger impact in some of the game stuff and how they've used him and that sort of thing. So I'm leaning towards positive in the sense of getting a lot of targets and maybe just the offense isn't super, super efficient. So you could convince me on that with Miami, given all of what we see. Maybe that's an argument for Gesicki as well. All right, New England Patriots, and Hunter Henry continues to be a real good tight end option, 1.45 yards per route run. It's actually come up a little bit. You know, there's been some struggles there. He's running 243 routes to 110 for Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith is basically like Gerald Everett at this point in terms of some of his usage. You know, that was a comp that we had over the offseason, that Jonnu Smith was basically just a rich man's overinvestment in Gerald Everett. Kendrick Bourne has now taken over the leadership of the most receiving yards in this offense at 520, 484 for Jacoby Myers. He finally gets on the board, 356 in terms of receiving yards for Nelson Aguilar. When you look at the actual routes run, Myers leads with 336, so that's 33, almost 34 per game, 30 per game for Nelson Aguilar. Next, over to the Jets, and this is one that continuously boggles my mind about why so much work for Jameson Crowder. He's not going to be part of the solution, and I think we've talked about this from a dynasty perspective of, if he's not going to be the solution, why are you pumping targets his way when you could use that for other purposes? You could run routes for Braxton Berrios. You could run routes for Denzel Mims. Like, you could run routes for other guys, Elijah Moore. Like, you could be feeding 100% of your routes through Elijah Moore. Case in point, this week, 45 routes for Jameson Crowder, 43 for Corey Davis. Notably, 35 for Ryan Griffin, tight end. So if you need some tight end, just some routes, he's one that offers some volume if you're desperate in the aftermath of the Tyler Kroft injury. When you look, this is a consistent pattern as well. Like, when you look over the past weeks, right, there has been some guys in and out. Corey Davis, for example, over the past 4 weeks has missed two of them. Elijah Moore missed time at the beginning of the season. Jameson Crowder, over the past 4 weeks, has run by far the most routes. And, you know, for 168 for him and 109 for Elijah Moore, Elijah Moore has more yards than Crowder during that time period. So from a team building perspective, it makes zero sense what they're doing. So just keep these things in mind. I think Moore is simmering for sure. Just keep these things in mind when you're team building or watching other teams build. These are the things that we should keep in mind and, you know, make sure to not fall prey to, if you will. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're definitely in they're kind of in the midst of the, if you want to call it like the the tumble cycle on their year. You're without Chase Claypool, you're obviously without Juju. Ebron has just come back. I think a big storyline to watch is the work split between Ebron and Freiermuth. 33 routes this past week for Freiermuth, 17 for Ebron. So good for Freiermuth. Bad news is horrible PFF grade, low in terms of production on a route run basis. He fumbled, so that's part of his problem there. Two drops, so had not a great game, but nine targets. So there's that. I think he had the fumble at the end of the game that basically forced a tie, just a horrible non-win there for the Lions. So we'll watch and see his continued development, and the workload, I think, between the two of them is a big deal to watch for. Fryman with the potential pivot off of guy, pivot up to. I've seen people put him in the top 10 of rankings. You know, I don't know if people have actually acted on that, but they like to tweet about it. We'll see here if it truly moves the market and some of the trade stuff that pops up. Notably, James Washington, and this is one thing that I was interested in how it would unfold. James Washington in the Chase Claypool absence and the Juju Smith-Schuster absence. It was James Washington that actually led in routes. Now, only 5 targets, 2 receptions, 15 yards. So pretty dismal in terms of production. But it's Deontay Johnson and Ray-Ray McCloud, both 12 targets apiece. North of 40 routes for both of them. So Ray-Ray McCloud, I think, is one that can get some volume and get some production and be useful here if you are in need of a reserve wide receiver here in the coming weeks. I guess really when Chase Claypool is out would sort of be the thing that I would watch for. All right, last but not least, the last team of the wide receiver snap reactions for the week, Tennessee Titans. Marcus Johnson with a breakout game, 5.56 yards per route run. He runs 18 routes, 100 yards, 5 targets, 5 receptions, 83.2 PFF grade, so up at the position. Pretty strong production there. Some of the schemed work is what I saw, so you know, from some people that were studying how that was basically done, it was some schemed work. So he's basically the second in terms of routes over this week. He had 18, 25 to AJ Brown. I'm not sure how, you know, I'm not sure how much I love him as a suggestion here going forward, given the fact that he has 19 routes in the past 2 games and, all of them, all but one of them, was in week 10, right? So when you look at his production, it's basically almost entirely crammed into this one game. You know, he has 160 yards on the season. So some positive optimism, some trend. I wouldn't break the bank in terms of a recommendation for him about being a high-end waiver wire recommendation or anything like that. Flyer range, and if other people want to max out bids or something for him, let them do it. I am not, I don't think that that's the way to do it. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of AFC Snap Reactions, a long form two-parter, NFC, AFC. As we hit the home stretch here, I'll have a waiver wire pod out as well. And special trade show this week, as well as I start thinking about strategy and some writing stuff. So we'll be on the lookout for that here in the coming weeks. I'll have some more strategy stuff as I finish out the content for Analytics of Dynasty 4.0. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.